The book of Jude is a wonderful book. It's a small, short book. He starts out, and one of the things that he exhorts us to do is that we earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I want to emphasize, brethren, it was once delivered by Jesus Christ, built upon by his apostles and from the preceding generations. We don't have to guess at what the faith is. It has been established. Established by Christ, established by the apostles, and we have an accurate written record that is given to us, that is sufficient for us to understand what the faith is. Our problem is that we are slack in studying God's Word. And we are weak in trusting and having confidence that this Word indeed can help us and benefit us. One of the trials that this book opened with is that those of us who are trying to stand for the faith, that we're going to be confronted with false teachings, false philosophies that will come in, that those who are ignorant and unlearned will be persuaded by, and their faith would be tested. It is important that you and I stand firm and that we study, that we know what the truth is, and we pass it on to future generations. One of the things that we see as we put forth, I'm glad the Word teaches us when it expresses all these conflicting things that are warring against the church. And I want to remind you that you today, in 2011, you are in a warfare. Your king has called you into his army. Now, you may not like the militant view of that, but brethren, we are soldiers in the armies of the living God. And we are to stand and fight against the wickedness of the forces in this world. I find too many Christians are willing to play possum or to roll over and play dead and not willing to stand and make a difference. Brethren, we are here to witness to the world that Jesus Christ is alive and reigns, and that his kingdom is in the world. And it's the kingdom that will triumph over all kingdoms, over all governments. We are a kingdom of hope, truth, and life. And you and I, as ministers, it's wonderful as we encounter counseling. We have the Word that if people will listen and pay heed, we have what it takes to set people free. The gospel is the gospel that liberates the soul. The Word, if we listen to it and obey it, brethren, this Word will set us free. You've got mountains in your life. The Word will help you to tear the mountains down. You've got troubles in your life. The Word will help you overcome the troubles of life. We find here in these last verses, as he's coming down to the end of this passage, after he talks about all the false philosophies and all the false teachings that will come against the church, that will rise up against the church, even John would write that even the Antichrist would come out from the church. And that's a frightening thing when you think about it. But brethren, we need to recognize, even if these things arise from within us and problems come from within us, that we still need to take confidence that our victorious King has left a record that when we read it and trust in it and follow it, it too will lead us to victory over false teachings and false philosophies and false ideas that we have. We find, let me just read these verses 20 through 25. He's listed about the character of the false people in the verses 19. But then he speaks to the beloved. Those who are beloved by God. Brethren, that ought to touch you. That God would love you. Purpose. To set His affection upon you. And that nothing about you has hindered that or stops that or turns His love away. You are here today. Those of you who have been set free from the bondage and the load of guilt of sin, you are here today because of the depth of the love of God. God loves you just as strong today as He will in eternity. God's love is unchanging. It's everlasting. It can be relied upon. It will hold us up. Brethren, we can't feel like we know everything about the love of God. We need to know more about it. And so He calls us the beloved, and as Jude writes, and as Paul would write, and he would entreat the people of God to follow this God and to love this God who loves them. He reminds them and he urges them based on the fact of the knowledge that you're beloved. Have confidence in that. This word will teach you that you're beloved. There are many things that you may encounter in this life that may make you feel that you're unloved or unlovable. You may be rejected by parents, by mothers or fathers. You may be rejected by your peer group. You may be rejected by so many in the world. And all of us, let us understand, rejection hurts. It hurts deeply. It scars and its wounds run deep. But let me put something before you that you can count upon. That God has made you accepted in His beloved. And He will never reject or forsake you. Though you may encounter it in the world, God remains true to you. And as we read in that song, God has showed His mercy even when we're young. And oftentimes when we were rebellious and stubborn and would not follow His will, did not appreciate the greatness of His love, and we were unmoved, God's love stayed steadfast. And let me tell you, God's love will accomplish every purpose that His love has power to reach out to save you. So you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have here so much of the development about the Christian character. First, brethren, the warning here that we need to be building ourselves up on the faith. That means that knowledge is important to us. You can't build yourself up on the faith if you don't really know what the faith is. If you're just guessing or you're just feeling. I want to remind you, Christianity is not based upon mere feeling. I like to feel. I like to feel that love and warmth of the presence of God in my life. I like to feel that I am up on the mountaintops. But brethren, let me tell you, if your faith is based on mere feeling, you are standing on sinking ground. Because our faith is based upon the true revelation of Jesus Christ as given to us by the Holy Spirit and by the written testimony of the eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that you study this word, because you won't build yourself up, and we need to build ourselves up to be strong men and women as a church, to be a strong house, that when the philosophies of this world begin to assail us and to attack us, we don't waver. We don't have to decide whether or not adultery's wrong. We don't have to decide whether or not abortion is wrong. We don't have to decide whether homosexuality, sodomy is wrong. We don't have to decide whether lying and deceitfulness is wrong. We don't have to decide whether obeying our parents is wrong or not. We know from the testimony of God's Word and the example of Jesus Christ Himself. We know, because, brethren, He's taught us the way. So knowledge is important. How am I going to overcome? I want you to look at the book of Ephesians, and I'm just going to look at knowledge, because I won't get into all the other ones, but I want to just look at the importance of knowledge to the how it was important to the Apostle Paul. As he's writing to the church, he's speaking to us about all the things that God has done for us. And I love verse 8 because it tells us that all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, He didn't leave quiet. He didn't keep it to Himself. He didn't shut up or seal up heaven to where we can't know it. But this God desires for us to know Him. Oh, brethren, that is... to know God, that God wants us to know Him. To know Him intimately. Not just to know about Him, but to have experiential knowledge based on His Word. That we can know this. And He comes down and Paul says that this God has having made known unto us the mystery of His will. God's purpose is to let you know how much He loves you. I want you to know that I pulled out all the stops for you. Now, brethren, here's something that's wonderful. We talk about fathers. This is a father, brethren, who wants his children to know how much he loves him, and he's given it here. I've given you the best I have. I pulled out the richest treasure of heaven itself because I love you, my child, and I'm giving for your life and for your ransom and for your redemption, that you might have hope and that you might have a glorious future. I'm giving you my glorious Son. I'm going to send Him into the earth. I'm going to humble Him that you might be exalted. I'm going to put Him to death and raise Him up again that you might live forever. And I am going to pour all of my wrath against your sins upon Jesus Christ. And when I'm through, all that's going to be left is peace and joy forevermore. I want you to know me and what I've done. And we find that Paul prays for that. And we find in verse 17 of this chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Let me tell you, brethren, you who are children of God, you are children of hope. And that is not wishful thinking. It's not based upon dreams. It's not based upon sinking sand. It is based upon the certain knowledge that God in heaven, who is holy and just, has declared me His child, and He has saved me by the blood of His Son. And He is destined that I'll be with Him forever in glory. Brethren, the saints of God ought to rejoice. You're homeward bound, and it's a home that will be eternal forever. This life is temporary, but God has promised us eternal joys in Christ. We're children of hope. Our gospel is a gospel of hope. And we need to recognize, even when we're counseling people who are trapped in sins, we need to point to them the hope that is in the Scripture, that they too can be delivered from the oppression of sin. And I want to remind you, brethren, how many of you love oppression? I don't. Oppression destroys. Oppression saddens. Oppression weakens. It is bondage. But oh, brethren, the gospel message that we have is that there is a God who will save the chief of sinners and set us free. Brethren, I want to ask you, do you believe in the freeing power of Jesus Christ? Because faith, brethren, is very important. If you don't believe that Christ can free you, you're in trouble. Because there's no other remedy for your sin-cursed soul than Jesus Christ and yielding to Him and believing that He's got what it takes to deliver you. And brethren, let me tell you, if you think He's going to deliver you outside of His Word, you've got another thing coming. His Word are words of life and words of deliverance. And Paul says, I want you to know it. I want you to know what the hope of your calling is. I want you to live like the free citizens of heaven, knowing that you're homeward bound and that wickedness and evilness of this world are not going to stick to you, but you're going to be free from it all. And you need to travel like you know you're a pilgrim. You're in the world, but you're not of it. So I want to remind you of that. And not only did He want us to know the hope of His calling, but what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know what some of us problems are? We're looking for God to fill all our joys here. Now God does. He blesses us. Blesses us with helpmeets. He blesses us with children. But brethren, let us understand, we, as we journey here, are on a sin-cursed world. But God has promised something better. And brethren, we need to understand what is the richness of that place. Can you imagine? Brother Claude and I was thinking, talking about it last night. I'm looking forward to dying. Now that might be morbid. I'm not sitting out there taking overdosing and pills, and I'm not, but brethren, I'm looking forward to my victory. I'm looking forward to waking up into the presence of my King and know that I'm standing before Him, and not one ounce, not one little speck of sin reigns in my mortal body. I have no sinful thoughts. I will have no sinful carnal desires. But I will be fitted to enjoy His glory forever. How many of you are so tired? We've been in a great meeting, but we find that the tiredness of our body limits our ability sometimes to receive what we need. Do you realize there in heaven, there will be no tiredness of body. There will be no thing, darkling veil that hinders us from enjoying the fullness of His glory. We're rich. And I want to remind you, you're rich. If you're the child of the King, you're rich. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear. It doesn't matter how much food you've got or what kind of house you live in here. It is all temporary. It is not meant to last. Let go of it and grab hold of eternal life with all your possessions. And brethren, if you're not studying God's Word, and if you're not praying for God to let you know how precious that is, the more you'll hold on to this world, and the more you will suffer its disappointments. What are the benefits of knowing the Lord? Peter would write this. I just want you to look at this. Can I overcome? But Jared, if I just know more about Jesus, and I'm not talking about you can gather facts. A lot of people can gather facts. And we need the facts, you know, because that's what we're going to base our life on. But there's got to be a walking with the Master. But look at this. Peter, when he was writing his second epistle, was writing to the saints to encourage them. And I just want you to look at some of the things that he says about knowledge. And by the way, there's other scriptures in Ephesians that I won't get to. But I just want you to look at this. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. This is the first chapter of 2 Peter. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith is not just a feeling. I want to remind you that faith has an object that causes us to grab hold of. That object is a person named Jesus the Christ. Look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that's a gracious King, isn't it? Because what it's telling me, my Father, who loves me, has equipped me to be His child. Equipment I don't get from my natural father and mother, who y'all know, they're wonderful people. But I received two things from my parents. One, I received a pronouncement of death as soon as I was born, because I was born of sinners, and that sin passed to me, and I would have died and would die still in my sins if it had not been that I had a greater Father who loved me. All received from my parents a wonderful heritage, because they taught me the way of the Lord. I can remember my mom praying beside my bed as a little child that God would bless me to know Him. I received that. But brethren, that was sweet. But what is more sweeter is I had a father who intended to answer those prayers and even put that prayer on my natural mother's heart. My Father in heaven intended to deliver me, not just by giving His Son. That's the reason I'm forgiven. But my Father wanted to live in me. That's an amazing thought. But brethren, do you understand that inside each of you who believe in Jesus Christ, that you have the presence of the Heavenly Father in you. And not only do you have that, but this Father has also given us something. Look at this. He's given us all things that I might live a life as His child. I'm a child of the King. Do you understand that? I'm a child of King. I want to look like my Father. I want to act like my Father. I want to walk in the steps of my Father. When I was young, I would get so, it was humbling. And I'm afraid they got too much of me. Today at the breakfast table, all the ladies says there's 3 hunt men, and we can see where the you know, from Kay to Aaron to me. And I says, all right, you know, I'm afraid they got too many of my bad points. But I saw as we were growing up how that my little boys would try to imitate my steps. If I took a giant step, they would take a giant step. They wanted to follow me everywhere I was at. If I was sitting down at my desk studying, both of them wanted to get up on my knees and just be there with Father. That's what I want with my Heavenly Father. And brethren, I want to tell you, you need to know that this God is a God, though He's high and exalted and holy, He has a true Father's heart and love. And you, His child, no matter how dirty you are, you can come into His presence and find love and cleansing and healing kisses and hugs. You can crawl up in the Father's lap. And I want to tell you, you can be His child by His grace, because His grace has given you something. And look at this. He's given, God's given by His grace, all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. You don't have to figure it out on your own. God's given you how to live a godly life. It's written right here. And the first step is you surrender that life totally to His Son, Jesus Christ. And you follow Him. It's a lifelong occupation. Not only has He given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, but how has He done this? Look at this. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to what? Glory and virtue. You see what kind of life God's called you to? It's one of virtue. It's one of glory. How do we do that? Through the knowledge of Him. Through knowledge. That's what I want to point out. Through knowledge. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you see the importance and power that's in that for your life? God's purpose is not that you live trapped in sin. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is a life of glory and virtue. And not only that, He has blessed us to escape the corruption that is in the world. We're different. We believe that a man and woman ought to not have relationships until they are married. And when they are married, we believe that they are to stay married unto death. We do not believe in the slaughter of our children. People look at people who have large families. They say stupid things like, don't they know how to stop that? Well, brethren, let me tell you, God's people ought to live different from the concepts of the world. Children are a heritage and a blessing from the Lord. And He's given us responsibilities of how that we are to live as men and women following this Christ. So I want to remind you, He has given us of those things. But oh, Brother Jerry, I'm so weak. I understand weakness. But it's not by our strength that we're supposed to be fighting the battle anyhow. God has not only given us knowledge, but I want you to look at this. And I want to ask you, do you have... A lot of us need to pray, God, strengthen our faith. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Look at what God's Word says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about our warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. What Paul is saying, we've got something mightier than what man's got. What is your war? The basic warfare, brethren, that we need is right here and right here. In our own hearts and our own minds. Our own foolishness to listen to that which is untrue instead of listening to that which is true. Truth liberates. Falseness, lies, imprisons. Oh, Brother Jerry, you need to have an open mind. Let me tell you, I believe in having an open mind, but I want to tell you how I believe about having an open mind. I believe in having an open mind because God has required me to search and to study and to try the spirits. But He gives me an open mind that when I find the truth, it's just like when I'm sitting down and eating, I'll close my mouth on something substantial and I chew on it. God gives me an open mind that I might see and find the truth, then close my mind shut tight on the truth and I eat it and I digest it and not let it go. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. How many of you are imagination? A lot of our sins is because of our poor thinking. Because our minds are not being renewed daily. We need that. And we'll look at that in a minute. How many of you have bad thinking? I can't overcome. I'm too weak. Let me tell you, all of us are weak in ourselves. But brethren, if you're God's child, then God's Word says that He's given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. Then He tells you that we do not have to fight with the weapons that are carnal, but brethren, that are spiritual. Weapons that come to us from the mighty might and power of God itself to the casting down or pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations. That does with your thinking, with your thoughts, with your desires, for the entrapment. It deals with things I'm imprisoned to my past. God's Word says that He can free us from the past. One of the things that I find teaching in the public school, there are so many children who believe they cannot be any better because their parents or their grandparents weren't any better. When I went and I preached at the prison, state prison there in Jackson, I would always ask, how many of you that are in prison, because it was a young age, how many of you had fathers before you in prison? And do you know there was fathers and sons in the same thing? And let me tell you, there were occasions to where grandfather, father, and son were all incarcerated. Following a pattern in their lives that they could not escape. Brethren, I want to tell you, our God has the power to enable you to overcome your past. He is greater than your past. The question is, are you willing to let go of your past and trust your future to this King who can liberate? Because He's got the power to do it. Because He can enable us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go with me, and I want to get one more in the book of Ephesians. He has equipped us through knowledge. He has equipped us through the power of His Spirit to give us the Word that can set us free. But I love Him telling us in Ephesians chapter 6, He's called us into battle to stand against the enemy. Satan wants to destroy your life. He uses your sinfulness to aid him. Christ the King liberates sinners. And He calls us to battle, and He says this: Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Are you dependent upon your might? That's why you're failing. Are you depending upon your pride and your ability? You're going to fail. Your strength must be in the Lord. That reminds me of what the psalmist would write. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you joying in the Lord? Are you rejoicing in Him? Let me tell you, though, if you're not seeking to know Him, how can you rejoice in Him? Because the more I find that I know of Him, the more I'm able to rejoice in Him. And I find that rejoicing in Him, He enables my soul to rise up out of the dust. He enables me to fight the victory and to be willing to suffer for His namesake and do it joyfully. I'm willing to overcome. I want to overcome because I understand how glorious the King is. So we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can overcome. We are overcomers through Him. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul would write to the Romans. That's super conquerors, superheroes. We got some. I know men who have been that. We have it in the record. Hebrews chapter 11 is about all kinds of men and women who devoted their lives and overcome their times through their trust in the Lord. Imperfect men. Weak, ordinary men who by the power of God did extraordinary things and changed the world that they lived in. You want to see the world change? Then, brethren, you be devoted to this King. Have a heart to serve Him. And, brethren, let me tell you, He'll take you, ordinary people, to change the world. One of the things that I love seeing is Aaron was telling about in Mississippi that there seemed to be a vote about abortion. Brethren, every one of you needs to make the time, since you have that opportunity, to go out there and cast your vote so that abortion will end in this state And this state makes a resounding testimony to the rest of this country. And hopefully other Christians will rise up in their states to follow that example. You can make a difference. The world tells us we can't, and we need to. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you read that list, Brother Isaac, it makes me want to go, you know, I can't overcome that. That's exactly what Satan wants to whisper in you. I can't overcome. I'm too weak. I've got too bad a past. You don't understand where I came from. Brethren, I may not. But your Heavenly Father, who created you for the purpose of knowing Him and enjoying Him forever, knows the path that He has created for you. And He knows how to bring you out of the deepest darkness into His glorious light. So put on that. We're wrestling. But brethren, we don't have to wrestle in our own strength. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's the same thing that Jude was wanting to say. You want to stand up against the false doctrine. You need to do everything you can stand. So you need to do some building. Building up of your faith, because faith will give you a backbone. We need Christians with backbone that say no to sin. I won't go with you. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm following Him. My steps may be feeble, but each step I take, the more I go in that direction that God has pointed me to, the stronger I come, the greater my confidence in Him becomes. I'll take that step. If it's a baby step, if I have to crawl all the way, I'm going to take that step that follows Him. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I've read it. Take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, I love that, to withstand in the evil day. God's told you to fight and to stand up against evil. And He wouldn't have called you to do it if He wasn't more than willing and able and gracious to give you all the resources that you need to do it. Pray for a willing heart. I want to stand against the evil in my own heart and my own soul. I want to stand against it. And I want to have, here's what's so important, and having done all to stand. One of the things that you've got to know, because you've got to have your loins girt about with truth. Brethren, if you're not learning the truth, claiming the truth, and holding to the truth, how in the world will you find what's necessary to enable you to stand on the firing line? Truth is essential. Don't listen to the pilot's philosophy. What is truth? The truth is your God. And the truth is His Word. And His revelation concerning Jesus Christ can be counted upon. And you need to live a life that when you come to the end of the way, you can die with confidence, with joy, with hope, with anticipation, knowing that your victory is assured. God bless you. It's my prayer.